This is the last full day of our retreat. And the rhythm of the day will be different than what has gone before this afternoon. We're going to have some reflections around this quality called Dana, generosity. That which actually, without the quality of Dana in life, the sense of sharing, making gifts, we don't really sense our interconnectedness, life can't be sustained, so it's this profound quality of heart, of mind, this practice, this cultivation. So reflect a little around that. And then there's the time also to have the silence lifted, so that we can, if we choose to, for some of us we might wish to maintain the silence until the end of the retreat. But if we wish to, we can make contact, talk a little with our friends, new people. And then after that, there's the observance of the Shabbat. And then supper at 6. Where again, if you wish to continue to explore this way of taking the opportunity to talk, to make contact, and then at 7:30 again, we come back into silence to continue the last part of our retreat into the evening and into tomorrow. So just to encourage, to let you know that this is happening, I think you've been informed, but just to also encourage that part of this shift from silence into talking, if that's what you choose to do, is also continuation of our practice, an opportunity to bring some of the principles we've been cultivating during the days of our retreat, mindfulness, presence, self-reflection, gatheredness, investigation, and bring that into what happens when we talk, when we're in contact with another. Last night Kitty Sarah talked about this quote from Srinivasagadatta, that wisdom says I'm nothing, whilst compassion says I'm everything. Between these two insights, the life flows, life of practice. So the heart, the aware heart, the mindful heart, when in contact with the world, when it's not obstructed by these hindrances, by these floods, what's called the flood of becoming, the asava, the outflow, in its natural state, when it's in contact, in relationship with another, with the world, then the awareness gives rise to these qualities called the Brahma Viharas, these qualities of kindliness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. So this morning I'd like to guide us a little in this meditation around the theme on kindliness, the first of these great Brahma Viharas. Brahma means divine or heavenly. And Vihara means dwelling, the heart dwelling in a divine abode, the capacity for us as humans to also touch into these qualities that are considered almost divine, although they're also very human. when the Buddha first taught the Metta Sutta, the teachings on loving kindness as a practice, not only does this quality arise spontaneously, fortunately, when the heart is free and touched by this sense of caring, it also can be cultivated as a practice. And when it's cultivated strongly, it becomes that which is an antidote to aversion and to fear. Helps lessen the tendency towards hatred and fear, helps overcome hatred and fear. When it was first taught in the sutta, the circumstance that the teaching arose within was related to something we talked about in the discussion last night, which was about meeting fear. Some of the Buddha's disciples decided to go and practice in a forest. And while they were practicing, they became overwhelmed with this feeling of fear. And in their worldview, they had the belief in spirits. It's not often such a scientific Western worldview, but in other cultures, in Asian cultures, they have a strong belief or sense of the world of spirits. And so in that time, that was the case also. So they began to feel, we would probably translate that more as a psychological inner dimension. But however we understand it, the actuality of feeling fear is the same. And so they got overwhelmed with this experience of fear and fled. And they came back to the Buddha, and the Buddha said, well, how did your meditation go? And they said, well, not so well. You know, we basically abandoned ship and fled. Couldn't do it. And so the Buddha said, well, commented, well, did you extend loving kindness to all the beings in the environment that you were in? Did you begin by doing that? And then he encouraged his disciples, when you go to a place, that to establish the mind, first of all, before you begin your meditation, with this attitude of non-contention, non-harming. This is a very skillful thing to do, that you send out an intention from the mind, that I'm not here to harm. That's not my intention. That I don't hold hatred in my heart for another. It may be, as Kirisara said last night in the story of visiting a guy in prison, that we feel hatred. A very human thing to feel. Betrayal, hatred, aversion, all of those which constrict and diminish our heart's capacity for wellness. But the meaning of this metta is, even if we feel those things, is that we firstly are not shaped by that. We don't dwell, we don't take those feelings in and dwell on them. They're not the Brahma-vihara, they're not the divine dwelling. And then we work to surmount those feelings with the mindfulness, with the kindliness, with the insight, and transform them, transform the hatred through extending this power of kindliness, non-aversion. One of the many blessings that come from this practice, when it's cultivated, when a heart is very stabilized and cultivated in this attitude of non-aversion, non-contention, it's said that the blessings that flow is that there's more natural tendency towards peacefulness. The mind more quickly concentrates. Nightmares lessen the ability to wake and sleep more easily happens. One becomes more beloved, more protected by friends, loved ones. And these are the many blessings or benefits that we're taught that emerge from this practice. When we try and concentrate, focus the heart, and we have a lot of aversion to what's actually happening within our being, the sensations, the feelings, the mind states, then we create this sense of struggle, this sense of tension. So beginning the metta, the loving kindness meditation, Buddha recommended that we begin with ourselves, actually, because this is often the place where we have the least kindness, the least acceptance, the most judgment. When I listen to myself, when I listen to others, there's so much of our difficulty is our judgment about how we should be, and which is dissonant to how we actually are. We get so impatient with our feelings and our minds and our bodies. So as I guide this meditation, I'd like to encourage you to begin with this capacity for not dwelling in aversion in relationship, first of all, to ourselves, not projecting onto this being, this body, this mind, this sense of aversion, judgment. Or as our teacher Ajahn Sumedha would say, this capacity just to allow moments. It's not to say we approve or that we don't work to change things. But in moments of, particularly here and now in our meditation, the capacity just to allow and to extend the sense of kindliness. Understanding that what we usually define as ourselves is really more ultimately in reality is a manifestation of so many interrelated causes that we can't even fathom the beginnings of, our families, our ancestors, our society, the influences globally. We're a conduit as human beings for so many influences, so many things that we carry. And then we interpret all of that as a self, and it's very burdensome. And so in a way, this kindliness is a spaciousness and allowing, compassion, a warmth, a gentle dissolving of the resistance. The Sanskrit meaning of this word metta, maitri, literally means that which softens the heart. We're beginning this meditation with a few verses from a Zen teacher called David Brazier. Breathe deeply, breathe deeply. The air fills my lungs and then my blood receives this grace by which I live a few moments more. My every cell replenished with each breath. With each breath, a part of me departs and something new is put in place. The rice I ate yesterday, where is it now? In my muscle, in my bone. The juice we shared, where has it gone? In our arms and legs and all. Last month, the rice waved in the sunshine in other lands, in the low flood plains of the Mississippi or Irrawaddy, and the fruit hung on the trees in Cyprus, Sicily, or Spain. And before that, their substance was in the soil, was in the air, was in the seas, waiting to be gathered up, waiting to soar up into the highest reaches of the sky, waiting to become rain. You and I are mostly water. Last year, most of each of us was in the ocean. We circulated together in the Atlantic or the Pacific, perhaps, for we are mostly water. And that water was lifted by sunshine heat, by the impact of photons cascading down, beating upon the ocean's face. And every photon comes from the sun, from the belly of the star. You and I were stars last year. We chased each other in the turbulent heart of the sun. So who was it that lived in your house last year, and where will you be next week? Who is your true friend, and who is your foe? And who will you be next year? Breathe deeply. Breathe deeply. This air is me. This air is you. This air we share. I give my substance to you, and you yours to me. With each breath, I am linked in a single orbit with the great forests. My outbreath is their food. Theirs fills my lungs. Last year, I was a tree, and a tree was me. Each day, we gather up substance and continue the task of endlessly remaking ourselves from one another. Each day, we discard a portion and continue the cycle of endlessly returning ourselves to others. Day by day, we change and become one another. The substance of the universe, stardust and all, passing through us each and we through it. Breathe deeply. Breathe deeply. So coming gently into contact with our breath as we establish mindfulness, awareness, present moment, attention. Gently asking the question, how am I right now? As we come into contact with the feeling of our body, the sounds of the morning, the feeling within our heart or mind, the sense of the mental activity, the sensations within the body, the felt sense of our experience, whether we feel light or heavy, distracted or present. Whatever's here for us, even if there is a feeling of aversion, resistance, we just allow our breath to breathe through and into what is present. Feeling the breath into the body, feeling the breath as we exhale. sensing as we do this that this breath is shared by all beings. All beings share the same breath energy. It's that which connects us to all things, all sentient things, all beings, all living things. This ancient rhythm, timeless rhythm of expansion and contraction through the breathing process. And as we feel the breath and we exhale, just gently allowing the body to soften as we breathe out. Some of the holding that we hold in our shoulders and through our torso and belly. And as we do so, feeling that we're relaxing into the ground beneath us, that which supports this body, nourishes this body, sustains this body. The air, the breath, the earth element, that which is solid, which we also experience and are nourished by with food. Feeling the warmth also of the sun, the morning sun, the light. Which sustains life on this planet. Sharing the sun doesn't hold back. It doesn't say, well, I just feel like giving 1% of my light this morning because I feel a bit tired. The sun just gives. It's his nature. Just radiates. In the same way, our true heart is like that. It just, its nature is to radiate, is to give, is to share. So sensing that each of these elements resonates and reflects in our own heart, warmth, stability, solidity, flow, cohesion, the element of liquidity, water, that which is cohesive. So feeling our body, our breath, our being as part of the flow of the elements of this greater world shared by all beings. Sensing as we sit in this room, the good intention of each being here, whatever our state of mind underlying, this good intention, goodness, wholesomeness, honoring that in ourselves and in each other. As we breathe in, taking a breath and just extending through all that we're in contact with this gentle wish. May all of this be well. May I be well. May all that I'm in contact with, which we usually call I, may this be well. Really extending a sense of allowing warmth, generosity, well-beingness to all the different parts of ourselves, even those that we judge. That we feel alienated around what we've been with through this week. Heaviness, sleepiness, doubts, restlessness, boredom, indecision, hatred, love, joy, peace, all of it, extending to all parts of our being a wave of well-wishing. May all of this be well. May I be well. And just allowing that thought form, the the intention behind it, the sense of warmth as we breathe in, as if radiating that out into all the cells of our body. And even for a moment, really meaning it, may I be well, may I truly be well. As we exhale, gently just letting go of resistances, aversions, cynicism. Just gently allowing that to soften, those energies that come up. As we inhale, just gently extending a wave of allowing acceptance towards ourselves, towards our body. However we experience it. Non-contention, non-aversion. May I be well. Gently allowing that same intention, that same contemplation to extend out to everyone here in this room, our fellow practitioners, those that are supporting our retreat, who dedicated so much energy to that, those that have helped this retreat happen, in the Tovana group, those in this kibbutz that have shared this space with us. Just a gentle extension of this intention and well-wishing. May all of the beings here, may each of us, may each of you be truly well. Have views about others, they might come up, and just acknowledging those and not denying, but also not getting swept away, but then gently staying in tune with this intention. My intention is actually not to harm, but to extend well-wishing, kindliness, warmth to all of those around me. Extending further to include our loved ones, our families, partners, children, parents, grandparents, ancestors, cousins, family, work associates, just inviting into our mind's eye, into our awareness, those in our life that we share a lot of our life with, that affect us and influence us. And who we influence in turn. Sometimes these relationships can be quite complicated and evoke different feelings. It's not to ignore or deny that, but we're just for a moment extending an intention of well-wishing, wishing happiness to all of these in the sphere of our influence. May they be well, may they be happy, may they be free from suffering. Gently extending further, allowing a wave, a resonance from our heart, from our mind, to all those beings in front, to the sides, behind, above and below, extending in all directions to include those that we care for, those that we have difficulty with, those that we consider our enemies. And further afield, all beings, just allowing a heart of non-contention, non-hatred. Even for a few moments, just touching into this contemplation, this meditation. May all beings be free from suffering. And if we find our mind sticks around relationship where there's difficulty, pain, past history, just holding that in our mind's eye gently for a few moments and extending to ourselves and to the other who've been hurt in a relationship, a sense of well-wishing. May both of us be well. Allowing the heart to free itself, allowing your heart, our hearts, minds to free themselves from the burden of aversion and hatred. Freeing the heart through this contemplation of non-harming kindness, well-wishing. Allowing the mind, the heart to expand, be really containing all beings in the world in this space of awareness. Whether I like them, whether I disapprove of them, whether I hate them, whether I love them, holding all with an equal intention of well-wishing, non-harming, kindliness. May all beings be well. Poem called Kindness. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go, so you know how desolate the landscape can be. between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out of the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore, only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to mail letters and purchase bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow or a friend. As we finish this contemplation, coming simply to our breath, just trusting our heart's capacity for this jewel of kindliness, compassion, as a refuge, as a power, as a strength. That which, as the Buddha said, only love ultimately can overcome hatred. Hatred never overcomes hatred. Only through love can hatred be overcome. And may this seed of compassion, of kindness, grow strong in all of our hearts. May it sustain and nourish us through the desolate, dark night. May it encourage us to extend that to ourselves and others in moments of our contact, for the welfare not only of our own beings and our family, but for the welfare of all beings, wherever they dwell, in whatever circumstance. Finishing with this mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, allowing the sound to resonate out, carrying this intention from our retreat, from our awareness, from our heart, the skillful intention of wishing all beings freedom from suffering. just want to come back to this moving out of the silence this afternoon, and just encourage around that some gentleness. For some people, coming out of retreat and into conversation is not the easiest thing to do. For others, just dying to make contact. So if you're talking to someone and they start to look a bit pale, you're telling them your whole life story, you might need to just sort of back off a bit and give them some space. So just being really sensitive to ourselves, to each other, to keep breathing, exploring, can we breathe, can we be here while we speak? And to also give permission for those that want to stay silent. Some people might like to just stay with the silence, take their supper outside and be quiet. That's fine. So just finding your way with this and seeing it as a continuation, all the things that we've been contemplating together, including this kindliness, seeing if we can take that into kindliness for ourselves primarily, into this shift of pace that's going to happen. I'm mentioning it this now because I don't know if we'll have time to talk about it. We won't have time to talk about it before it happens, really. So just to mention it now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.